whatever campus you're attending today, we are so glad that you're with us here at Celebration Church. Or maybe you're watching by television or listening on the internet or whatever. Just somehow you've gotten a hold of a DVD of this message. We just want to say hi to you. And we're glad that you're tuning in. We're kicking off a new series here at Celebration Church called Miracles. And we're going to be looking at the miracle works of Christ, and we're just going to unpack some things here, and we're going to see a couple of really cool, important things. One of the things we're going to see is how much God delights in doing a supernatural work in our life. And another thing that we're going to see is really how simple it is to receive a miracle. And once we learn a couple of things, once we understand the character and the nature of God, and once we understand that God's power is available, He's no respecter of persons. It's available to all of us. And it doesn't matter how long you've struggled with an issue or what you think about yourself, I want to encourage you that nothing is impossible with God, and He delights in doing the impossible. And so I want to, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to talk about storms today. We're going to talk about storms, and we're going to take a look at a passage here, Mark chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading in verse 34, or verse 35, where the disciples get caught in a storm. And there's obviously a lot of things that relate to all of our lives about this passage of Scripture. So let's just kick it off right here. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it says, "On the same day when evening had come, He said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was. And other little boats were also with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But He, speaking of Jesus, was in the stern asleep on a pillow. They awoke Him and said to Him, 'Teacher, do You not care that we are perishing?'" So let me tell you what's going on here, okay? This is actually the Sea of Galilee. And let me tell you something about the sea. And I can really relate to it being from Louisiana, okay? Well, this sea was actually 680 feet below sea level, and it was surrounded, the Sea of Galilee was surrounded by mountains. So obviously, if you get that picture, like a storm could just come out of nowhere. You couldn't see it. It could just come straight over those mountains, and man, you were just stuck, and you were in trouble. And so it was a real kind of, the Sea of Galilee was dangerous. And so this storm comes up, and Jesus and the disciples are in the boat, and basically it gets really bad, and the disciples are like, "It's over. I mean, this is it. This is how it's all gonna end here." And you know, just thinking of my life, I grew up in South Louisiana, and one of my favorite fishing spots was where the mouth of the Mississippi River emptied out into the Gulf of Mexico, the Atlantic Ocean down there. And if you're looking at a map of Louisiana, you might think that like New Orleans is like the furthest place that you can go, you know, down in the boot, you know, kind of in the swampland. You see New Orleans way out there, where you can actually drive about another 2 hours south of New Orleans to this place called Venice, and then that's where the streets end. And then you could get in a boat, and you could go down the Mississippi River about an hour, and then it would fork into three kind of canals, and you could go down one of those canals, and you could actually empty out into the mouth of the Mississippi. Let me tell you something about this area in Louisiana. If you get lost down there, you're in trouble. I mean, chances are they're not gonna find you, and it's obviously I love to fish there, you know, and I can remember several times getting caught. It just seemed like that the mouth of the Mississippi River, it was like this magnet for storms. And what we would do is, if it was a calm day, we would shoot out of the Mississippi River, even though, you know, back in these days I had like this 17-foot old beat up bass boat. You know, like sometimes it just wouldn't start, you know, like one time the propeller just like spun off of it. One time there was like, there's all kind of mysterious holes in it. You know, we'd be like fishing and I'm just kind of focusing on fishing and I kind of look down and like my feet are almost underwater. You know, there's some kind of hole. It was just always something was going wrong. It's always getting stuck on a sandbar or mud bar in a lightning storm and it was just always wrong. Well, I can remember this one day I was with a good friend of mine. And it was a beautiful day. It was flat calm. And it was the time of year we knew if we could go out in the ocean like about 5 or 10 miles and hook up to these oil rigs, man, we could kill them. Do I have any hardcore fishermen in the house? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like there's this risk, man, but you just know if you can just get out there, you know where the honey hole is. You know the fish are going to be there. And so me and my friend, we didn't even have a cell phone with us. And we didn't have a GPS. We did have a compass. So yeah, just do the math. So anyway, the way we would do it is it would be a clear day and we would mark the oil rig. So like, okay, we would go to this kind of orange oil rig and then from there we would be far enough away where, you know, we could see the next couple of miles and then we go to this oil rig and then we finally get to the oil rig like 10 miles out in the ocean. I'm in a 17-foot bass boat. Okay, is everybody following me? And we'd finally get there, and then that's how we would get back, and we'd zigzag to the rigs, and then from that last rig, we would get the compass, and we know, okay, we just head, okay, I'm going to head northeast, and it's just kind of a shot, and you head on northeast, and you can't see land, and then eventually, you know, you see the marsh, and you can kind of follow the bank and find the canal that you came out of. And I'll never forget this one time. It was a beautiful day. We're so excited. And we do the zigzag out to the rips, way out there, like 10 miles out in the ocean in this bass boat. And let me tell you something. We are killing them. We are tearing them up. We are catching the fish. It is on, man. We're in a bass boat. Like these huge yachts are coming by. Just like, what are you doing out here? You know, we're like out in a bass boat pulling these huge cobia and all these fish and everything. And they're just like, you know, shaking their heads. And lo and behold, we're fishing. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just like this huge storm comes up. And the guy with me, his name was Lee. I said, man, Lee, we are in big trouble. And he's like, I know. So we untie, you know, and we faintly see the other rig. And I mean, man, we just beeline it. It's in, you know, when the waves are getting bigger, you know, we're in a bear. And sure enough, man, we just kind of see the rain come down and, you know, the rig, it goes nowhere. And we kind of go up there, we're pouring down rain, huge seas, 10 miles out in the Gulf. We don't know where we are. And so Lee and I are just like, what do you think we ought to do? So we both kind of say, well, let's just do this heading on the compass. And see, we weren't at the last rig. I know this is a long story. It is going somewhere, I think. So we just head out, man, and we're out in the storm. And we just go driving for like 20 minutes. And we're lost in the Gulf of Mexico in a pouring down rainstorm in an old 17-foot bass boat with huge seas. I'm telling you right now, if you ever wondered, I was serious about prayer this day. And I mean, Lee and I were just like, God, you've got to help us. I mean, we're like the disciples right here. We were like, this could be it. I mean, is this how it ends? You know, I've only been a Christian for a few years. I'm like, I'm not even getting into the good stuff. You know, I ain't even, is this how it ends? And man, we prayed and prayed and prayed. And lo and behold, a total miracle, this Vietnamese shrimp boat comes out of nowhere. I mean, you can't see in the storm, you know, from me to 10 yards out, this Vietnamese shrimp boat just comes out of nowhere, and we see it come along, and we just floor it, and we run down the Vietnamese shrimp boat. Now, also, if you're familiar with Louisiana, not all shrimp boats are carrying shrimp, if you know what I'm saying. Okay? So thank goodness it wasn't another kind of boat, you know, out there in the Gulf. But So we were able to flag down this boat, and these dudes were just like, man, I don't know what they were saying in Vietnamese, but I'm sure it was something like, you guys are idiots. So anyway, we get on the boat, and we head back to land, and I just wanted to say, I can relate to the disciples about being lost. Every time I read one of these storm stories, my mind always goes back to how Jesus saved us out of the storm. And so, you know, just to say this, it's so important as a Christian that we understand that in our life we're going to have storms. Sometimes as Christians, we think that, okay, we're going to come to Jesus and we get forgiven and we're on track with God, and then somehow we're going to be exempt from problems or exempt from trials or exempt from storms. And that's just not true. And I want to let you know that, look, God wants to do a miracle in your life. You might be in a storm, but Jesus knows how to quiet the waves. Jesus knows how to bring peace in the storm. And so I just want you to think right now, all of our campuses, I want you to think right now, what kind of miracle do you need? What storm are you in right now? Is it something with your health? Is it something with your finances? Would you say that your marriage is in a storm? Would you say maybe it's just something, you know, that you've been struggling with, depression, or there's an addiction that you can't break free from? Just think about this. What is the storm that you were in? What miracle do you need from God? I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're like, dude, what you talking about? What, one miracle? I need like 10 miracles. I need like 20 miracles. You know what I'm saying? I'm not just in a storm. I'm in like a hurricane and a tornado combined. But here's the thing. We all face storms. And I want to unpack some things out of this passage of Scripture that we see about storms here. And I think that it will really help us to have peace and know that God is in control. Can I encourage you today? Listen, in God is in control. Whether you realize it or not, here's what we're going to see right here. He's in control. He knew you were going to be in this storm. He knows what's going on. God's not freaked out about it. So let's just look about this storm and this example with the disciples. First of all, in verse 35, Jesus says, hey, let us cross over to the other side. In other words, guess who brought him into the storm? Jesus did. Listen, when we are in storms, we need to understand that we are there by God's appointment. Now watch. I'm not saying that God caused something bad in your life, and we're not going to get into heavy theological things, but I will say this. God allowed it. God allows everything. God allowed Adam and Eve to sin. God allows man to have free will. And when you come and you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you something. Anything that you are in right now, God has allowed it. And he knew that it was going to be there, even if, and I'll tell you how we get into storms. First of all, we can get into storms by our own dumb mistakes. Can I have an amen? I mean, we just do stupid, stupid things. We sin. We make bad decisions. In other words, we bring the storm on ourselves. But guess what? God knew it was going to happen. God allowed you to have a free will. He knew before you were born that you were going to be in this storm. Okay? The second thing we see in here is, look, it says in verse 38, it says, you know, this windstorm arises and Jesus was in the stern asleep. I love this. He's not only sleeping, he's asleep on a pillow. Don't you love when the Bible just, you know, kind of like, you know, he killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. That might be my flex message for next. Yeah, this is one of those Bible, you know, extras here. Jesus is in the stern and he's asleep. He's not just taking a nap. I mean, Jesus has found the pillow, man. He is out. He is cutting log. I mean, he is just sleeping. He's just completely out. And so here's what happened. Here's this storm. The disciples have already forgotten that, hey, Jesus is the one that put them in the boat. Jesus is the one that says that we're going to the other side. See, many times, did I tell you how else we have storms in our lives? by our own bad decisions. Sometimes it is the enemy. How many of you know there is a real devil? There can be a spiritual attack, a satanic attack. The Bible says that there are principalities and powers and forces of wickedness. So it could be that, or it could be a dumb decision made by somebody else. It could be, in other words, man, you were just doing everything right and yo-yo here messed up. I'm not talking about your spouse necessarily. But it's like you're kind of paying the price for someone else's poor decision. Or it's also important to remember, look, we just live in a broken world. We just live in a fallen world and in a sinful world. But here's the deal. No matter what kind of a storm you're in, I want you to understand that the disciples were in this storm and it was the will of God. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. Now, how they reacted in the storm might have not been the will of God. Whatever kind of storm you're in right now, I want you to know whether God allowed it, whether God, you know, actually caused it or whatever. I'm not going to get into that kind of stuff. That leads into a lot of other stuff. But I want to let you know that God appoints our lives. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And God wants to do something great in the midst of your biggest problem. And so here's what, my Bible's upside down. So here's what happens here. Here's the next thing. So God appoints them. And then here, when you're in a storm, you always need to remember that God's presence is with you, even if you don't see it or feel it. That's what's going on here. Jesus is in the stern. He's on a pillow. And so they're like, the boat's sinking. And the disciples is like, man, disciples are, where's Jesus? They can't seem. He doesn't seem there. They don't sense him in the problem. However, he's there. Listen, no matter what you're going through, God is with you. He's with you. Listen, that miracle that you need, no matter what type of problem or trial or storm you're facing right now, you have to know that God is with you. You have to know that God has allowed this thing, that God has appointed this thing, or he's allowed this thing, or he knew that you were going to be in this thing, and his presence is with you. Aren't you glad the Bible says that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us? And so we see that the disciples here, God's here with his presence. But look what they said. They say, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Think about that. How many of you have just, you know, have you ever gotten that place and you're like, you've been fighting something or struggling with something for so long and you're just like, God, don't you care? In other words, God, can't you just do something about this one thing? Don't you see what this is doing to me? Don't you see what this is doing to my family? Don't you see how I'm trying to believe you? I'm trying to do the right thing, God. Don't you care? Don't you see I'm perishing? Well, let me just say this. Just like the disciples, you're not perishing. You're just in a storm. And you're in the storm, and the answer to that is, God, don't you care? And the answer that they're going to see right here is Jesus is like, absolutely. In fact, I cared so much. I've allowed this to happen because I want to do something so great in you, and fixing your problem immediately is not going to do that. Watch this. Don't confuse God's delay for God's denial. Don't confuse that. Don't confuse God's delay for God's denial. See, here's what happens. In storms, I like to say this. In storms, we want God to do a removing. This is what the disciples want right here. They want God to remove the whole deal. They want Jesus to fix the whole thing ASAP. In storms, we want God to do a removing work, but God wants to do an improving work. We look at God like, God, it's your job to remove this. But see, Jesus loves us so much. Jesus is like, man, this is the very thing that you need to experience for me to do something great in your life. See, God appoints storms, or He allows storms. God's presence is with us in storms. But guess what? God also develops His purpose for us in storms. His delay does not mean denial. We want the thing removed, but God's looking and He's saying, no, I want you improved. You know what I want you? I want you more Christ-like. That's what's going on. I need some for you to exercise some patience here, so that patience, in fact, let's just read that scripture real quick. James chapter 1. Verse 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I like that word fall. In other words, hey, you're in a trial. It don't matter whether it's you, God, the devil, somebody else. Guess what? You're just in it. Life dealt you a bad hand. You're in the trial. You receive that phone call, and all of a sudden, everything has changed. All of a sudden, you just go into a random, just normal checkup at the doctor, and all of a sudden you get a report and your whole life is put on hold. You get a call from a teacher and another parent, and they tell you something that your kid just did, and all of a sudden, all these other ministers, I mean, you're just tunnel, you are so overwhelmed by this problem. Isn't it amazing the world that we live in? See, that's why this storm, it talks about it arose suddenly. The Sea of Galilee, it represents how just all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, we're just going along. Just like me when I was out in the Gulf of Mexico on my back, everything's great. We're catching fish. It's a sunny day. And all of a sudden, it's just wham. The world we live in, things can change like that. You get the phone call. Or you find something out, and all of a sudden you're just like, you're in it. You've fallen in. You're in it. You're in the trial. And you, well, is it something? I did, God, if I just wouldn't have done this, God, I regret this. If I just would have spent more time with Him, if I, you know, you just, you're in it. But guess what? God is in it with you. And there's a purpose that He wants to do. And there is a miracle that He wants to do if you will say, God, I know You're here. However I'm in this thing, You, Lord, my steps are ordered of You. And You know what's going on. I got good news for you about God. Guess what? When you mess up, when you're in a trial, God doesn't, guess what? There's no like crisis meetings in heaven. God, Father God didn't say, oh my goodness, did you see Jim? Jesus, Holy Spirit, angels, everybody in my office now. There's a code red on Jim, man. Code red, Trinity, what are we going to do? Can you believe this guy? No, that's what we do. We do the code red meetings. Man, God's in control. So look what happens at the end of the story here. You know, they're like, God, don't you care? Jesus, don't you care? So look, He arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the Prince of Peace? You know what that? Yes, He brings us peace with God, but He is the Prince of Peace. That means He has the authority to bring peace into any and every situation. He has the authority to bring peace to your storm in the natural on the outside and bring peace to your heart on the inside. He is the Prince of Peace. And so He stands up. He says, peace be still. And look, and the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Can you see the disciple? Do you realize how the disciples, let me just finish, he said to them, why are you so fearful? Why were you so afraid in this storm, in this trial? Why were you so afraid when you got that phone call, when you found this out, when you lost your job, when you found out that you or your wife, you couldn't have children or this or that? Why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith? Watch. Why? You know what Jesus is saying? He's not talking about faith in the expected outcome. He's talking about faith in who He is. He's saying, don't you know I'm a good God? Don't you know I love you? Don't you know I'm the one who put y'all in the boat in the first place? And they feared exceedingly. Here's the thing. If we fear God more than we fear the problem, guess what? Peace will come a whole lot faster to our lives. And they said, they feared exceedingly, and they said to one another, who can this be? I'll tell you who it be. It be Jesus. Who can, what? Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let me ask you this question. Watch. Let me ask you this question. Do you think after this whole experience that Jesus just took the disciples through, do you think the disciples were thankful that even though it was very scary for a little while, especially when they saw Jesus had taken out the pillow, even though it was scary for a little while, don't you know that they are thankful that they went through this? Do you see what Jesus was doing on the inside of them? Do you see that this whole thing was a Holy Spirit setup? Listen, so much of what you're going through, look, it's a setup, man. It's a test. You know what that verse, the rest of that verse says in James? It says, let patience count it all joy when you're in trials. Guess what? That's because God is about to do something huge. Count it all joy. He said, watch this. Let patience have its perfect work so you'll be complete and lack nothing. It's the work of patience that brings spiritual maturity. It's the work of patience, not the blessing, not the calming of the waves, not the problem fixing itself. That's not, it's somehow, it's this work of patience. It's a huge thing that you see in many miracle stories of Jesus, man. Patience has a huge part when God is trying to develop something on the inside of us. And for the rest of those disciples' lives, they will never forget how Jesus did that miracle to them. See, that was the miracle. It wasn't just the calming of the sea. That was a huge miracle, obviously, that happened. But guess what? There was another miracle that took place on the inside of them. There was a revelation of Jesus as the Prince of Peace that brought them into a deeper relationship with God and strengthened them as spiritual people. Let me say this. Some of you in this series, at all of our campuses, some of you, guess what? You are going to receive a huge miracle, and God is going to calm your storm. He's going to speak to the waves, and He's going to say, peace, be still. Some of you, the storm is going to rage on. Listen. Some of you, the storm is going to rage on because there is a process involved. But guess what? Some of you, God will speak to the storms, the outer storm, peace be still. You're going to get a huge supernatural breakthrough on the outside. Some of you, God's going to speak to your heart and say, peace be still. And you're going to get a supernatural breakthrough on the inside. Both are miracles. Both are miracles. Let's just connect to God right now. Let's just bow our heads right now, all of our campuses, and let's just bow our heads and tune into God. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness in our lives. How many of you right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you just say, Stovall, I'm in a storm, man. I'm in a storm. I want you to raise your hand right now, wherever you are. Wow. All of our campuses, go ahead, just raise a hand. Say, Stovall, I'm in it, man. I'm in the storm. It is on. You can put your hands down. Here's the thing about the storms of life. You're either in one, or you're heading into one, or you're just coming out of one. This is the world that we live in. Here's what I'm going to do. I just want to pray for all of you that lifted your hands at all of our campuses. Father, I thank you. You saw all the hands up and they're saying, God, I'm in a storm right now. Jesus, I thank you that two miracles are going to happen. And I believe that they're going to happen during this series over the next few weeks, God. I believe that this is a supernatural series where the church is going to be in the boat with Jesus. And we're going to go through some things and some patience and some process.